Welcome to the Kinetic Fitness Show. My name is Ali West. I am your host. And this podcast is all about helping and inspiring you to live a longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful life. I do that by taking an holistic approach to health and well-being, focusing on the mind, body, and spirit, and covering different topics on all of those areas each and every week. Before we get started with today's episode, I'd just like you guys listening in to do three things for me. You can do them at the end of this podcast. That's absolutely fine. The first one is to like, follow and subscribe if you haven't already. The second one is to leave me a review on iTunes or Google. Just a few words telling me how you found the podcast and telling me what you enjoyed about it. Third and finally is to just share this with your friends, family and colleagues. Tell one person about this show and together we can spread the love, spread the knowledge, and help more people to live a longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful life. Right, today's guest. My guest today is Eva Humphreys. Eva is also known as the Whole Food Warrior. Eva is a nutritionist, and what I love most about Eva, well, there's two things. The first one is she gave up a corporate career to follow her passion. Her passion is food and nutrition, and she gave up a corporate job to go and do exactly that. The second thing that I love about Eva is that she backs everything up with science. So everything that she shares with her clients and with her audience is A, something that she's passionate and interested in, but B, is backed up by the science and by the research. She does a lot of research. She takes her time researching the best methods, the best foods, and the best advice to give to her clients. Also, Eva is super qualified with what she does. She has a degree in nutrition. She's a member of the British Association for Applied Nutrition and Nutritional Therapy. And she's also a member of the Complementary and Natural Therapies Healthcare Council, which is a regulatory body for nutritional therapists. Her main focuses and her main specialities are in type 2 diabetes and cancer. And she has helped hundreds of clients to become healthier, improve their nutrition and improve their eating habits. I'm not going to tell you much more. I'd like Eva to tell you her story and share her knowledge and wisdom with you. So let's get stuck into this episode and bring in Eva for another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. I hope you enjoy this one, guys. Let's do it. Okay, I'm here with Eva Humphreys. How are you today, Eva?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast.
No problem. I'm glad to have you on. And it's exciting for me and for the listeners as well, because it's the first real podcast episode that I've done on nutrition. So it's exciting and it's good to have you on.
Thank you. No, I'm honoured to be the first one to fly the flag for nutrition.
Yeah, it took a while. We're nearly 50 episodes in, but we've pinned you down now and we're doing it. So it's good. But you owe me some press-ups and burpees for standing me up last time.
Hang on a second, press-ups as well?
One or the other.
Where did that come from?
One or the other. Okay, before we get going, can you give mainly the listeners, because I know more than they do, but give the listeners a little bit of a background about you, who you are, where you've come from, what you're doing now?
Sure. So I'm Eva Humphreys, as we mentioned before. I'm now a BANT registered nutritionist. My previous life was actually in IT, which was a bit more office-based, and I maybe spent 8 years as a business development manager in an ordinary office job doing sales. And one of the projects that I was put onto, we were giving 0 to 4 year olds individual iPads, and I guess I had a bit of a midlife crisis because I looked around and I thought, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. Morally, those kids should be outdoors and picking up social skills. So I really looked around as to what I like doing. Health and fitness has always been a real passion of mine, and I found a degree in nutrition that I could do on the side, and that really propelled me onto that journey. So I spent 3 years studying and then eventually graduated, and I've now been a nutritionist for 3 years.
Awesome. And you've got this brand, haven't you? Tell us a little bit more about the brand that you operate under.
Yeah, I've decided on Whole Food Warrior. So my website is wholefoodwarrior.co.uk. Why did I pick that? I guess that goes back a little bit. I always observed my colleagues and friends and co-workers dieting. And especially for women, it's a bit of a trend that you go on a holiday, so you want to lose a bit of weight. And really, cutting out a lot of food just makes people sad. And yeah, you lose weight for maybe a couple of months and then it goes back on. Based on all the signs that I've been picking up over the years and also from personal experience, really, if you just go back to eating whole foods, you remain quite healthy and slim. So whole food worry always stood out as a bit of a tagline, eat more whole foods. So yeah, that's why I set my website up to be.
Perfect. And everything's going well. You've got loads of shows lined up, haven't you, over the summer? You're going to be presenting and cooking and doing demos and flat out.
Pretty much. I've got 20 food shows this year. I'm five in already. So a good 15 more to go. I think it's 20. I think it's just over, actually. But I'm super passionate about food. So I came into nutrition really from a perspective of loving food. I want to show people that it can taste really healthy and remain nutritious. So it's more around how you can fit healthy foods into your diet that you actually genuinely enjoy eating. So the cookery demonstrations I do at food and drink festivals and country fairs, and they really fit into their ethos, and it just allows me to get out and talk to more people and inspire them with healthy dishes. The great thing is that after I've attempted cooking something in the middle of a field, people get to try it.
Yeah.
Which...
instant feedback.
Yeah, 90% of the time works out really well. The other 10% of the time you've burned something.
Nice.
But it does tend to work out well. And then I also do a lot of talks at various events. And I see clients one-to-one for nutrition advice too.
Perfect. We're going to talk about some of those points that you touched on just there. But before we get into the actual food selection or how people can plan and prepare better, let's just backtrack and talk more about the problems and the issues that arise all the time with people's nutrition and people's diet. So we want to really relate this podcast episode today to busy people that might be working a 9-to-5, that their main barrier is time and they don't have the time to prep and prepare food and make healthy, in inverted commas, choices. So what are the common problems that you see coming up with the people that you deal with over and over again?
Dieting, full stop.
Yeah.
I guess diets have always had this very negative undertone to them, and for good reason, because generally speaking, when someone decides to go on a diet, it's always around cutting large food groups out and starving yourself.
Like no carbs and stuff like that.
Yeah, that would be an example. I mean, I've seen much more extreme cases, obviously having looked after a lot of nutrition clients, but generally speaking, dieting isn't a great idea because you end up restricting yourself and then binging, and then that cycle goes on and on and on. And in fact, just this morning I was chatting to one of my clients about she has a friend that before every holiday she just starves herself for 2 weeks.
Oh my god.
And then goes all out during the holiday. So it's this real perpetual cycle of cutting food out and then overindulging and then doing it over and over again. I think the biggest favour that you can do yourself is just to be consistent. And that's not consistently eating bad food. It's being consistent with good nutrition instead of restricting your intake, I guess. Other issues that I may have experienced, too much alcohol. Do we go there?
Okay. I think that might be another podcast on its own. But yeah, you can touch on that for a bit. I'd love to do one on alcohol as well, so maybe we'll have you back to just do booze.
Do you know, the science is really interesting, because on one hand, alcohol de-stresses you, which is why we love it. So there is some benefit to it there, I say, but the maximum is 4 to 5 units of alcohol per week. Anything above that, it starts causing the problem. From a weight gain and nutrition perspective, you really have to compensate for it quite a lot. So it's much easier just to either periodically ditch alcohol or to restrict your intake on a weekly basis. Unfortunately, if you are working, there's a real social aspect to drinking most of the time.
Yeah.
And certainly from the IT industry that I was in, it was the expected norm that you're out on a Thursday and a Friday night, and then sometimes it spills into Saturday as well.
Yeah. So, I think that's a corporate trait, isn't it?
I spoke
to a client once and there was like going out for a corporate meal or to close a deal or something, and I was like, don't have a drink, just make sure you just have a water or juice or something like that. And she was like, all the best deals are done over alcohol. I've got to drink. And it's just that mindset and that culture, isn't it? That
absolutely.
Go hand in hand with it. Okay, so the dieting aspect, booze, what other problems and issues?
Sugar addiction.
Sugar.
Shall we cross that one? I'm sure you come across that quite a
lot,
don't you?
Yeah, for sure. Let's touch on that briefly.
Yeah, sugar addiction is a bit of an issue. I mean, the signs does state, and I keep referring back to the signs because that's the best information that we have. I don't just Google things. I have to actually look at the viable
research.
Signs behind it. And the later science is suggesting that we should just be having 3 good meals a day. In any office environment, we inadvertently get really bored. So the snacks creep in. And I'm seeing a lot of people that have made those snacks something sugar-based. Or they'll skip meals and then they crave sugar and that comes in. And it's a real downward cycle of addiction then where you have to have the sugar because you can't get through the day, or you have to have the sugar to give you a bit more energy in the afternoon. And that, from a nutrition perspective and definitely from a weight loss perspective, is quite damaging.
I call it the sugar roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly.
You're on it all day long, up and down, rather than being on that constant steady keel.
Yeah, I mean, we accept that if we give kids sugar, they'll go crazy for about half an hour. And then there'll be a huge crash and they have a tantrum. Yet, in adulthood, pretty much the same thing happens, except we suppress that tantrum. But it's the same kind of reaction, and somehow we don't register that that will happen again.
Yeah. That's that awareness, isn't it? Being switched on to what's happening and what you're putting in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a few of the problems then. Why then? What's the reason why these ones are occurring? Why are people having problems with sugar? Why are people having problems with alcohol? Why are people constantly yo-yo dieting and trying the latest fad or the latest trends? What's the reasons behind it?
Sugar and alcohol, it's fun. Let's not deny that. Actually, with sugar, it's really addictive to the brain. And once you're on that, it's quite hard to get out of it. That's why there are a few books around sugar detoxing. Every single one of them says that if you come off sugar, you'll get a headache because you physically need to detox from it. Mm. The body works on glucose. The brain predominantly runs on glucose. So the more you feed it sugar, the more it's going to want sugar because it's the best source of fuel for it. I say best very loosely because there are other sources of fuel, but generally speaking, the body will always reach for carbs.
Mm.
I'm sure you've experienced it where you've been really hungry. The first thing you want is carbs.
Yeah, for sure.
It's because it's really easy for the body to burn.
Yeah.
So the same way, we're going to keep craving sugar. Alcohol, again, sadly, it is addictive, but also I think it's more of a socially accepted norm that the fun people always drink, and like you mentioned previously, in a corporate environment, you go out as part of doing deals or from a social perspective with colleagues as well. The dieting side, I'm guessing that comes more down to marketing, and also there's a lot of pressure on women to be constantly on a diet. You only have to pick up any magazine, and there is something always around getting slimmer and giving yourself the perfect body.
And so social media now as well.
Social media is even worse. So I guess this image that we're constantly portraying, not just to women, but also to men, is that slimmer is always better. So then that fuels the dieting industry.
Yeah. One you haven't mentioned that I come across time and time again is particularly with the corporate clients and the people that have got those busy lifestyles is the time element, or time excuse, as I might call it. What is your view on that, and why do you think people keep using this time excuse as well, and is there ways that we can counteract that as well? We're going to come on to how we can get over these problems a bit more, but I just wanted to touch on the time one because I'm sure there'll be people listening to this but want to make changes, want to start eating healthier, want to be aware of what they're consuming, but they'll be thinking, well, I just don't have the time. Can we just touch on that a little bit?
I don't necessarily think it's the time that's the problem. It's just getting your head around it. So think any large project that you've ever had to carry out. Your mind ultimately always goes, that is really complicated. I don't quite have the mental capacity to deal with that right now. And it's exactly the same when it comes to planning your meals. You think, oh, I don't have the time to have proper nutrition, I have to keep running around all the time, I'll deal with that another day. A lot of the work that I do with my clients is around having the ability to pick the right choices when you're out, because we've got access to so much brilliant food right now that even running into a corner shop, you can pick up a healthy meal. So I think it's just having that knowledge and having that right, that structure where you go, I can do this and I don't have to think about it so much.
Yeah. Let's go on to it then. Let's talk more about changes and making changes. How can people start to make changes? How can people start to form new habits and really make an impact and make a dent on their nutrition and their overall diet?
Okay. First things first, you have to consider nutrients. I do this with every single client.
Generally, so you're saying education is a starting point, or getting a knowledge base?
To an extent. So you just have to really, this is a bit cliche, but you have to listen to what your body needs. And ultimately, we get enough carbs, we get enough protein. Most of us get enough protein. Women tend to be a bit more on the lower end. This is a vast generalisation, but it's from my experience. Fats we tend to get enough of, not necessarily the right ones, but what we don't really get much of is vitamins and minerals. So the way that I work with clients is always just to say, right, what is your diet missing in this point? Let's start by adding those things in.
Right.
Instead of thinking, I must just eat less because fewer calories mean that I'll be healthier and slimmer, which is very much the mindset that's the norm now. So veg. Lots of different vegetables. That's where all the nutrients come from. If you're not too fond of it, juicing, that works, but not from a juice cleanse capacity, more from an area of just adding in loads and loads of nutrients. If you add those nutrients in, hopefully you'll start feeling a little bit better, because it's just flooding your system with loads of vitamins and minerals that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten. So it's just changing that mindset from thinking, right, I need to cut everything bad out, to thinking, well, actually, what I need to do is incorporate all these nutrients into my diet that are going to make me feel better and that are going to allow me to function like I should be functioning.
Yeah. And then some of those cravings that people have and those instincts and sometimes emotional type of eating patterns will not disappear, but they'll be reduced when you put in the right nutrients in, won't they?
Reduce is the right word, yes, absolutely. You'll just, generally speaking, have a bit more energy, and hopefully that should spur you on to eat a little bit better anyway. But also, by taking a smaller step instead of going all out, you start integrating new habits. And when you form those new habits, things become a lot easier. And once adding in the nutrients has become a lot easier, then you can go on to tackling the bigger issue, i.e. is there a sugar addiction? Are you perhaps drinking a little bit too much? But it's just giving you that space and that capacity to go, okay, I've done the big job by adding in lots of nutrients, and now I can look at other areas that may need adjusting accordingly. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, once you've started putting lots more vegetables in, chances are that you reduced your carbs, because otherwise you'll be eating huge meals.
Yeah.
That will get you really, really full.
Okay, you mentioned, I don't want to spend too much time on this because, again, we could go down a whole other rabbit hole. But you mentioned vegetables, but what about fruits? Because people will think vitamins, minerals, vegetables, yes, but they'll think, oh, I can get a lot of vitamins and minerals from fruit as well. But where do you stand on that, and how's that going to impact people? Do you recommend people to consume fruit and consume lots of it, or is it less, or is it goal dependent? Where do you stand with the fruit side of things?
Let's go back to the science, I guess. They've done a really good bit of research a couple of years ago, and it was published a couple of years ago, but it was over a very large number of years, and they assessed 3-year-olds to 93-year-olds, and they tried to figure out what makes people healthy long-term. For me, good nutrition is about remaining healthy long-term. That as a goal is really great. With this piece of research, what they found is that eating 10 portions of veg a day is where the sweet spot is. So the more vegetables people could get into their diets, the better the nutrient intake was and the healthier they were longer term. Now, that is 10 portions of veg, where one or two may be fruit.
Okay.
Fruits still contain nutrients, But I like to look back at how we used to eat in Britain before bringing in fruits from various different countries happened. And the reality of it was that we had availability of fruit for a few months during summer.
Yeah.
But for the rest of the year, we pretty much had nothing. I mean, even vegetables, unless they were preserved, we didn't really have. But probably we had a lot more of those than we had fruits. So with fruit, I'm good with maybe one or two portions, but you really can overdo it.
Yeah.
Especially the high sugar varieties like bananas.
Yeah.
It's not unheard of for people to have three bananas in a day because it's a nice source of sugar. But actually, that is what you're doing. You're just adding a lot more sugar instead of adding more nutrients.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, sometimes with fruit, the nutrients and the vitamins and minerals come at a price as opposed to where you've got a bit more of a leeway with vegetables.
Of course, if you look at a really, really healthy diet, which would be high in veg, probably medium protein, and have some really complex carbohydrates, a piece of fruit fits in there really nicely as maybe a snack, especially if you're doing exercise, because then you have got a bit more leeway with carbohydrates. What we don't really have space for is five portions of fruit. It will have nutrients in it, yeah, great, fantastic, but it also has a really large amount of sugar. So if you have to choose between the two, I'd much rather people went down the vegetable route and try to increase that than think, oh, if I have five pieces of fruit as a snack, that's going to count towards my 10 a day.
Yeah.
It does, but ultimately you'll get much bang for your buck out of eating five different types of veg. And then building on that, things like berries, they're much lower sugar. They're much easier to get away with. So I tend to say like a handful of berries or a piece of fruit that forms your 10 a day. And then the rest should be made up of veg.
Yeah.
And the only other thing to consider is that the 10 a day sounds a little bit scary. But actually what they were trying to aim at with this science is just the variety. So something like two florets of broccoli is one of your 10 a day.
Yeah.
Three tablespoons of peas is one of your 10 a day, like half an onion, a tomato.
So it's quite easily done then?
Absolutely. It's just about smaller quantities.
Yeah.
But having more of them.
Yeah. Okay, adding stuff in. So adding the vitamins and minerals in is a good starting point for people. Once they've started to do that and that will make a big impact, what are some of the next big steps that they can make after adding stuff in?
Hydration,
okay.
I'm sure you come across this a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And this, again, there's so many different angles we could go off, and this could, hydration could be one on its own, a podcast on its own. We'll talk about that. In fact, before you get stuck into that, I do want to mention, and you might have come across this, but they did a study on hydration at Bristol University, and it said, it was based on corporate workers, so people working in an office environment, and it said that just 1% of dehydration could affect cognitive performance by up to 65%. So that's just 1% of lack of water affects your performance by up to 65%. It's just crazy, isn't it? It's so important. So yeah, touch on water a little bit because it's a massive area.
Yeah, it's the cognitive side is huge, and especially if you're in a working environment where you're having to use your brain to do something, it is such an easy fix. Virtually just having a glass of water on your desk and sipping it, or
we've got
having
one of those here.
Water bottles.
Yeah.
Model students today. It makes a really big difference to your ability to think. From a nutrition perspective and a weight loss perspective, dehydration causes sugar cravings.
Mm.
If sugar cravings are a problem, just pick up some more water. Ideally, you want to be between 1.5 to 2 litres of water a day, but it really varies person to person, and also with the time of the year and activity levels. Yeah. So there are loads of variables, but as a general rule of thumb, 1.5 to 2 litres a day.
Is that for men and women, or does it differ?
Again, it differs.
Yeah.
So, and it differs by body size as well.
Yeah.
You know, the bigger you are, the more you need, etc., etc. Weight loss we've covered off, cognition we've covered off with water. Another thing is caffeine intake. So people assume that if they have 5 cups of coffee and 3 cups of tea, that will count to the 1.5 to 2 litres.
Yeah.
The reality is you're going the polar opposite way.
Yeah.
The actual recommendation is that with every cup of coffee, you should have a glass of water because the caffeine dehydrates you. decaf sits somewhere in between. The caffeine doesn't then dehydrate you, but that coffee still doesn't count towards hydration. So it needs to be more water.
Got you.
That's more for detoxification than anything else. So your kidneys and your liver really appreciate water. Your kidneys more so, especially if you've been out at the weekend and had a few too many beverages. Kidneys are constantly filtering, so they need water to be able to flush through properly. And that's a really
It's just
big
every function, really, isn't it? Every function in your body needs some level of water and level of hydration. So it's critical. I can speak for experience. I'm one of them people, if I don't get my 2 litres a day, I'm like a bear with a sore head. I'm so ratty and I can just lose my patience, lose my cool quite easy if I'm not hydrated. So it is massive. It's really important to take that water on board. And it's, like you say as well, it's an easy fix, isn't it? Just have your water bottle with you. When it runs out, fill it back up. It's a no-brainer. What about these people, though, that say, I don't like water?
This is exactly what I was about to mention.
Okay.
I get this all the time. I don't like water. It's really boring. Okay, great. Have herbal teas.
Yeah.
In summer, iced teas. It works really well. So just herbal tea, but just let it go cold. Pop it in the fridge. I also love frozen fruit in water.
Yeah.
It's a really nice way to add flavour. So any kind of berries, they just infuse the water, give it some flavour. Ginger, lemon, mint, any herbs. You can get really creative with it now. Just get used to it.
Yeah.
Is the other side of it. It's water. It really tastes of nothing. It's just a case of getting it in. And it does you so much good for not that much. Right. It costs
Easy
nothing.
Free fix. For sure. Okay. Hydration. What other changes can people make? What other habits can they adopt and implement to make big changes with their nutrition?
I guess after nutrients and after water, if you want to go a little bit deeper, it just comes down to moving away from processed foods.
Yeah.
It really comes to...
Hence Whole Food Warrior.
Yes. So bad. just look at what you're eating in a day. Pick on one. I always tend to say pick on breakfast because that's generally where people tend to get it the worst.
Yeah.
We've become accustomed to eating cereals for breakfast, which... is really, really highly processed. So if you look at where you're having processed foods in a day, pick on breakfast, for example, and look at what more natural foods can you have. My absolute favourite is things like eggs. If you're short on time, porridge or overnight oats, smoothies.
Even eggs, though, don't take that long. I think people have got this preconceived idea that eggs take ages to make. I can literally make scrambled eggs in 90 seconds. Yeah, 2 minutes tops. It's so quick and easy. And I mean, if you haven't got 2 minutes in the morning, then again, we're just going back to that time, making an excuse. And
sure. There is actually a really good green vegetable frittata recipe on my website that I absolutely live by because I'm not a morning person. So if I have to be out in the morning, it's either something that I've already got pre-prepared or I'm making a smoothie as I'm running out the door. There are quite a few people like that. And I guess from that perspective, I can really relate because I am definitely one of those. This green veg frittata keeps in the fridge for 4 days.
Perfect.
And you just make a big batch of it and it's a question of grabbing and going. You can reheat it in the office or have it cold. And it's just eggs and veg. So you get in loads of protein first thing in the morning, loads of nutrients. It just ticks all of those boxes.
Yeah.
Going back to natural foods, two things happen. You'll detox, naturally detox, which is really great. And again, you add in to that nutrient intake. So ultimately, you'll just start feeling better.
Mm.
If your breakfast is good, pick on lunch. Think about what you're taking for lunch. I swear by wraps because, again, they're a really quick fix.
Yeah.
So I normally tend to say a protein and 3 portions of veg. Wrap it up. Go.
Boom.
You set up for the day. And it doesn't really need pre-preparing because it will literally take you 2 minutes to do. And then dinner. As well. So just look at where your nutrients are coming from.
Dinner tends to be the one I think where people mess up the least, isn't it? Because they've got more time or they go home and they sometimes cook a meal or prepare it. Whereas, like you said, lunch and breakfast is where people make big mistakes, I think. So if you can impact those two. Where do you stand on then skipping breakfast? Because I know you've spoke a lot there about 3 square meals and eating 3 times a day. I know people sometimes skip breakfast. I can sometimes miss breakfast as well. And we've had a podcast episode in the past about intermittent fasting, so I guess maybe that could be the first nutrition one. But yeah, we spoke about intermittent fasting. So where do you stand on people skipping breakfast? Do you advise against it, or where do you stand?
Do you know? Neither.
Neither, yeah.
Just go personal with what you're used to. Absolutely. I've looked at the research because I'm not a morning person. And for the longest time, I also wasn't a breakfast person.
Mm.
And actually, the research suggests, if I can get my words out, that it doesn't really matter what time you have breakfast.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you have it at 6 a.m. or you have it around lunchtime. What really matters is that your first meal of the day is full of nutrients. So full of veg, full of protein. It doesn't matter if you have breakfast at all. And sometimes it can be beneficial to even skip it and just go straight to lunch.
Yeah.
Because that allows the body to repair. Now, there is a caution in that, that if you're used to having a fairly bland diet with no veg, fasting then can be a bad thing.
Mm.
So you really need to work on nutrient intake first, yeah, before you consider prolonged periods of fasting. But generally speaking, if you want to skip breakfast, great. Just make sure your lunch is really nutritious.
Yeah, which we spoke about on the intermittent fasting one. We did say it's no good doing it if you've not got a nutritionally dense diet as well and a balanced diet. So
I agree. Yeah,
that's good that you pointed that out for sure. Okay, let's move on to benefits. When they start to make these changes, start to hydrate more, plan better, add more nutrients, add in whole foods, what kind of benefits are people, what's maybe just the three or four big benefits that people are going to see, maybe straight away and then more long term as well?
Obviously, this is going to be completely individual. Energy is always a really big one, and that's really the first one to show up a lot quicker, because when you start flooding the system with loads of nutrients, you just feel that little bit better. You can make energy much better. So things start perking up. The best way I can explain is a client case. So
yeah.
I had one chap who was 45. He, typical lad, I guess, loved the booze, you know,
yeah,
in the pub most afternoons. And at 45, he wound up with high cholesterol, high blood pressure, pre-diabetes. Now, when he came into the nutritional therapy consultation, which is usually an hour, he cried for 45 minutes.
No way.
Because he never really considered his health or that it would eventually go in down south. So this was a real kick up when he had these doctor's results and thought, okay, well, all of these things have happened. I don't really quite know what to do about it. And it was obviously overwhelming. So I had 15 minutes to try and do something or recommend something that's really going to make a difference to his health. And the only recommendation that I made is that he starts adding in vegetables. So I asked him to look at each plate of food that he has, breakfast, lunch and dinner, and to add 3 portions of veg into each. He came back 2 months later and he was a stone lighter.
Wow.
I didn't ask him to cut anything out, which I think was the best bit about it, because it was a real, let's add in all the nutrients and not worry about the rest, which makes it a lot more manageable. I think having that one fix allowed him to just focus in on the nutrients, get a bit more energy as a result, and then because the weight started dropping off and he started feeling better, it then propelled him to do more and more and more.
Yeah. It's a really good methodology. I really like it, add in before taking away, because we're always told take stuff away, cut stuff out, but add in first, then you start to see progress, and then it just snowballs, doesn't it, from there. But the other thing I like that you do, or you did with that guy, is you just try to change one thing at once. And I think sometimes people, I'm going to change this, change that, make too many changes, and then they just get overwhelmed and they give up, don't they? Whereas if you can just make one big change, or not even a big change, one little change, and then it just snowballs from there.
It's human nature, isn't it? We're competitive beasts, and we think instead of doing just the one simple thing, we're going to do like the best and the biggest job and we're going to stick to it forever. It's not realistic. Having realistic expectations when it comes to eating is much better than thinking that you're going to lose a stone in 2 weeks.
Yeah, for sure.
As we know.
Nice. So that's a good... Energy is really the big one that's standing out there then with the benefits, but ultimately there's going to be...
Weight loss happens. Loads.
Yeah.
I tend to think of weight loss as more of a byproduct, because if I ever work with a client, weight loss is never really the main aim, and I don't want it to be a main aim because it's such a shallow thing to look at. I know this sounds bad, but weight loss won't propel your overall well-being forever.
Mm.
You'll think, oh, I lose this little bit and then I can relax again, because that was your primary outcome. I tend to work with people more around looking at overall well-being. So what's going to keep you happy and healthy until you're 95, so you can run around with your kids and not have joint ache and, you know, be able to move freely and feel good.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And that's what I try and incorporate and tell people as well. It's the long term. It's not a quick fix. It's long term longevity of your health. Ultimately, that's what it's all about, because most people don't do something until it's sometimes too late, do they? They go to the doctor, get told some horrible news, and then start to make changes, where if you do it now,
yeah,
it's the long
term. Just small steps.
Yeah, perfect. Again, this is an area that we could spend ages on and do a whole other podcast on, but I want to touch on it because you mentioned it right at the start about magazines, TV, and the big one, social media, telling people stuff, sending messages out. So I wanted to just touch briefly on what are some myths, if you want to call it that, or nutritional lies that you see a lot and you just want to, like, maybe tear your hair out and just think they're so wrong. And can you tell people why they're wrong and maybe give them some ideas on what they could do instead?
Sure. Any extreme diets that you pick up in magazines, you always have to caution and question. The reality of the situation is that different diets work for different people. And that's okay. You're going to get a success story out of fasting. You're going to get a success story out of high protein. You'll probably get a success story out of low fat diets. But that doesn't mean it's right for you.
Mm.
If we look at one of the biggest myths from the 90s, was the low fat movement, for sure. We physically need fats to produce hormones. So all of the female hormones, the male hormones, they're all fat-based. Cholesterol is needed by the body. It's virtually in every single cell. And cutting out fats also impairs cognition, so the way that your brain works. So I guess low fat was one of the, probably the biggest myth. Or
it's gone the other way now, hasn't it? It's high-fat keto.
Absolutely.
Craziness, yeah.
But do you know what? Being somewhere in the middle, because again, keto has its limitations. It's great for weight loss and it's great for periods of up to maybe a year. But now they're saying that longer term, it's not actually that beneficial. It's great in some pathologies. So there's really big success stories in epilepsy and in certain cancers as well. But you really have to assess where you are as a person. For the average human, that's perfectly well, or thereabouts, just maybe feeling a little bit sluggish. Being middle of the road is absolutely fine. Pay attention to those nutrients going in, because that's going to be the biggest change that you can make, or the biggest differentiator overall. But other than that, you can be a little bit more relaxed around the edges.
Yeah.
And really, as a nutritionist, I tend to work from a more relaxed approach, because if there isn't anything wrong with you, to get healthy, it's much easier than going down the drastic dieting route. Trying to think, other myths. Juice cleanses.
Yeah.
Let's pick on juice cleanses.
I'm guilty. I did one.
Did you?
A few years ago, yeah. And I didn't even feel that great, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. Go on, the juice cleanse. Hit me.
Two sides to this story. If you want to give your digestive system a break because you've been overeating and you want to flood it with nutrients, awesome. A 3-day juice cleanse is going to do exactly that. It will give your digestive system a break and it will get loads and loads of nutrients into your body. But you can't detox with juices. Detoxification needs protein. And that's one of the biggest myths that keeps being marketed to people, is that if you go on this 3-day juice cleanse, you will detoxify.
Mm.
Technically, you can't, because you do need protein. It will probably do you good, because if you're used to eating a fairly beige diet and now you've got loads of nutrients in there, you might feel a bit more energetic. You lose a few pounds, but it's likely to be water weight. So when it comes to juicing, I'd much rather individuals incorporated maybe 3 juices a week into their diets as an addition to everything else, or maybe to compensate. So say, for example, you had a terrible lunch, there's no reason why in the afternoon you can't just have a vegetable juice to make up for it, to add those nutrients in. But to have nothing but juices for several days from perspective of weight loss, it doesn't work.
Mm.
It's just going to make you put all that weight back on later on.
Yeah. I found when I completed my juice detox that I literally felt like I wanted to eat everything that moved inside. Of course. So.
Effectively, you fasted, but you fasted with a bit more than water.
Yeah. I think if you want to give your digestive system a rest, fasting's a good,
of course,
a good way to go, for sure.
Yeah.
There's one I want to point out, and it does my head in, and I see it a lot, particularly in the fitness industry, is carbs make you fat. That's rubbish, isn't it? That's a myth, like, to some extent. Anything can make you fat, can't it? Anything can make you fat. But to jump on this bandwagon that carbs make you fat, that's not necessarily true, is it? And
you've got to think about it this way. Cutting carbs takes out a lot of calories, and it encourages weight loss. Most people are really used to having quite a carb-heavy day. So you might start your day on cereal or porridge, which is carbs.
Sandwich.
You'll probably have a sandwich at lunch, which is carbs. And then you'll go home and have pasta or curry for dinner, which has a lot of carbs. So if you take away all those carbs, of course you're going to lose weight. Is it necessarily the carbs that are bad? Probably not. It's just that's the only thing that you're eating.
Yeah.
And what you are missing is all of the nutrients and all of the protein. So it's switching your focus.
Yeah.
Carbs.
And it's going back to being individualised and what's right for you, isn't it? Because I know personally, for myself, I respond really well to carbs. I have carbs at every main meal.
Sure.
And they work well with me. I did keto, I've done high fat, I've had a dabble with everything. And keto, I just did not get on with it at all. So it's going back to what you said earlier about listening to your body, doing what works for you, and ultimately not getting too stressed about it. You said you like to take a relaxed approach, and people get stressed by it, don't they? They're already stressed, and then they build up more stress by worrying about their food and their nutrition, when they should just keep it a bit more chilled and make small changes that are going to have longer term impacts.
So I sit on the fence with the whole carbohydrate intake. I think the average person can reduce it, but really it's not a problem to have carbohydrates. I tend to look at it, so I go back to this plate that, if you look at each plate, has it got veg in it? Yeah. How many carbs does it have on it? Ideally, you don't want half a plate of carbs.
No, yeah.
Which, let's face it, is the average dinner. You want maybe a quarter of your plate is carbohydrates, because the rest should be real nutrient-dense foods.
Yeah.
Like veg and like the protein-containing items. So we can overeat carbs. It's really easy to, because the brain craves it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's fully bad for us. And in fact, there was a piece of research that came out of Australia just a few weeks ago that was published, and they said that a high protein, low carbohydrate diet is great for initial weight loss, but is damaging in the long run.
Interesting.
So we do need some carbs, we just need the right kind of carbs and not. So that's the only thing on the plate.
Yeah. Makes total sense. What about then, for the listener that's listening to this and they've enjoyed it and they've took a lot from it and they just turn this off in 10 or so minutes and they want to make changes straight away, what would be 1 to 2 key takeaways for them? So if you just said, look, do this and this as soon as you've turned off this podcast, and it'll help you with your nutrition and your diet, what would those 1 to 2 things be?
If I haven't harped on about it enough already, add more veg in.
Yeah,
it will make the biggest difference. Veg equals nutrients, so 10 in a day
if you can.
Go and
get your veg. Yeah.
10 if you can have in a day, or 9 and a piece of fruit, so 3 portions of veg per meal and a piece of fruit as a snack if you wanted to go down that route, or add in some juices or smoothies. Any way that you can get those vegetables in, that will make a really, really big difference. And the second is just to keep hydrated.
Yeah.
Like we discussed, get more water.
Perfect. Where do you see things going in the future then with nutritional advice and nutritional guidance? Do you think things are going to change and people are going to make better changes, or do you think we're going to keep going down this path of disease increasing and obesity levels going up? What do you think is going to happen? Because I think I read some predictions that the government or the NHS had done, and they said like by, I don't know what it was, 2030 or something like that, that 45% of women and something like 30-odd% of men are going to be obese, or the other way around. I can't remember the exact numbers, but it made for bad reading, put it that way. So where do you think...
A third of our population is already obese.
There you go.
That is very real.
So do you see it getting worse, or do you think things are going to change? Where do you think things are going?
I'm quite hopeful. There's been a lot of changes in terms of, especially plant-based, so there's been a lot more interest around healthy eating. You only have to look on Instagram and it's being repped. So I'm hoping that the revolution will be more around people looking back to more natural foods and eating a little bit better, as opposed to it going down the disease route and we all just get unhealthier. I think the younger generation are doing a good job of it now. And there are also some really great companies that are raising awareness, like Riverford with Organic. They're constantly campaigning, which is really great to see. I'm also hopeful that with all this extra information that's available to us, it will do us good, or people at least start considering it. There's loads around waste reduction now, about buying more British, so let's hope it goes the right way.
A lot of the advice as well now is just free, isn't it?
Well,
you can listen to this podcast, you can go and get a book from the library, you can watch a TV programme. It's information that can be consumed relatively cheap, and you can...
Exactly.
You can make changes for cheap as well, can't you? You don't have to go and spend a fortune. People have got this. That's another myth, that healthy eating is expensive, and it's not true, is it? There's changes that you can make on the cheap.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. I think we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Thanks again for having me.
No problem. And it's been good to hear a simple approach to it. I think that's one of my big takeaways from our conversation, is that you keep it simple, you keep it relaxed. And a lot of nutritionists and dietitians and doctors, to some extent, that I see on TV or on Instagram or listening to their podcasts, they sometimes can go a bit technical and go too scientific. And it's good to know that you do your research, you look at the science, but you keep it simple. And that's what I wanted to get across from you as well, which you have done. So that's been great. Keep it simple.
The science is fantastic, but ultimately you got to do something with that information. Mm. So I always look at it from a consumer's perspective. What does this mean to me? What do I have to do to make this applicable to me?
Yeah.
And the reality of it is, if we eat a bit more veg, drink a bit more water, have our protein that's good quality, that's as complicated as it needs to get.
Yeah. We will go more complicated when we have you on next, though.
Okay.
We'll do the alcohol or the coffee or whatever. Yeah, or we'll dive into these fruits and vegetables in a bit more detail. That'd be good, for okay. sure. We always finish my podcast. Oh, in fact, before we do that, before we finish, where can the listeners go to find out more about you? So just shoot out your website, your Instagram, all that kind of stuff.
So website is wholefoodwarrior.co.uk. There's tons of recipes, and I do also publish the odd article pretty much with the same flavour as this, just keeping it simple, debunking the myths, putting a little bit of science into it. Instagram, same again, at wholefoodwarrior. Twitter, Instagram. I already mentioned Instagram. Can we delete that bit?
Yeah. No. Yes, no. We'll put them all in the description anyway, in the show notes, so people can just click on it and find you for sure. And I know you've got some big things in the pipeline as well, which we'll keep a secret for now, but some big things coming up for you. So that's great. We always finish my podcast with a favourite quote, and it can be one of your own. It can be something that you live by or something that inspires you. Just finish the show and hit us with a favourite quote to finish, please.
Everything in moderation. Literally the simplest one ever.
Love it. Simple. That was amazing, Eva. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Wish you all the success, and we'll speak again very soon.
There we have it. That's a wrap on episode 44 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. As always, if you need any more help, do not hesitate to reach out to me. All of my contact details and Eva's contact details are in the description of this podcast. So if you do need more help, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Don't forget to leave a review, like, follow and subscribe to this podcast, and tell your friends and family about it. And I look forward to speaking to you again very, very soon. Until then, have a blessed week. Stay strong, stay healthy, and I wish you all the best. Peace and love.